Today, I'm joined by Anastasia Robertson of Justice for Demeek, a group dedicated to ending police brutality in Troy. We are talking about what it is like for people of color in this pandemic time. Welcome to the Hudson Mohawk Magazine. Anastasia, these times in general are strange and scary. Specifically, I'm thinking about figures from the nonpartisan AMP research lab that shows staggering racial divide in coronavirus deaths across the United States. It says Black Americans are dying of COVID-19 at 3 times the rate of white folks. I'm also thinking about the hunting down and murder of Ahmaud Arbery and the most recently the killing of Breonna Taylor. I was wondering if you could speak to these times specifically around racism.
It seems that there's a number of things going on in terms of addressing race, the disparity in terms of the epidemic. One, it's really, really hard for anyone to get a test these days, unless you're on your deathbed. Then you have the issue when it comes to the Black community of people either not having sufficient insurance or maybe any insurance, which really should not be playing a role in this, because all testing and treatment is supposed to be covered. Then we do have the underlying issue of health, people with overweight, high blood pressure, diabetes, et cetera. And all those things play in. And it's all basically from the fundamental structure of racism that we have in this country, where all these, why we have so many disparities, lack of access to clinics or doctors, not receiving proper care, being misdiagnosed, or just being push to the side your concerns. These type of things, they all play into that. And it all comes from the underfunding. It comes from a lack of a willingness to address these areas of disparity to prevent these type of situations. And then you also have people who are fearful, and people really don't know who to trust anymore when it comes to getting information. We have a president who seems to, his desire is to initiate a lot of what's happening. He just waves a lot of flags. He says things unnecessarily that prompt or send signals to those that are of a racist mindset that it is okay to do this. And then you have the rest of the government who's not really stepping in to address any of these concerns. They say you have Ahmaud Arbery out jogging, and you have people that gun him down for no apparent reason other than the color of his skin, but yet they weren't immediately arrested. There was no immediate investigation. It was all pushed to the side until it came out in the public, and the public kind of forced their hand. You shouldn't have to force a hand. When a wrong is done, and it needs to be addressed. It sends a message to the world that it's okay that these things are taking place, that it's okay that you want to gun someone down. It's okay that you want to use someone's color as your defense for inappropriate behaviors and actions, that life is not worth anything more than really reopening this economy. And that's basically the bottom line on why we're even reopening at this point. We have no cure, we have no treatment, we have not enough knowledge. The information changes daily on what the symptoms are, what we should be looking for, whether you wear a mask, you don't wear a mask, whether you social distance, whether you go to work. It's just a big mess. And unfortunately, your frontline workers, the majority of them, happen to be people of color. So your numbers are going to be high in that respect also, because the person that's the CNA that's working in the nursing homes, the orderlies, all the people that are loading and unloading trucks, working in the stores, keep making sure that we have food and the necessities that we need. All these people, the majority of them happen to be people of color who are constantly exposed to this virus. Yeah, we're dying, but we're dying because you're not providing the necessary PPE. You are rushing to open up stuff that doesn't need to be open. Why you think it's necessary to open a nail salon? So it's really about dollars and cents and whether you're addressing the pandemic itself, or if you're addressing the racism itself, because no one's addressing the issues that they need to be.
a coalition in Schenectady had a run for Ahmed Arbery and a run for their own police victim, Andrew Kersey. Can you talk about these events and how Capital District organizations plan to collaborate on holding officials accountable?
The overall purpose is to bring attention to the fact that these things are taking place. It's almost like testing the waters. It's like when these incidents happen and people sit back to see, well, what is law enforcement going to do? What does our nation have to say about these type of incidents? And you get silence. So people, even though we're in the midst of a pandemic, it is still necessary to carry on the fight and to make our voices heard. So things like the walk, the ride rallies, and things of that nature, they're out there fighting. That it is not okay that this country seems to want to go backwards. We have a lot of people who don't like what's happening, but at the same time, a lot of folks aren't saying anything at all. And that makes the situation worse. Complacency is as bad as being the perpetrator.
Anastasia Robertson, could you talk about Justice for Demeek's involvement for the fight for justice, the fight for accountability from police officers and government officials?
The fight is a long fight. It's going to be a long, it's a long road to victory. And like I said earlier, unfortunately, when you have leadership that is doing all that it can to keep everyone behind rose-colored glasses and, run from the truth, it does make the situation much harder. But we cannot allow open season on Black people, on any person for that matter, but definitely not on Black people, because that seems to be the scope. I mean, from something as simple as having this pandemic that started in China, to China turning around and kicking Blacks, Africans out of their homes, out of not allowing them to rent rooms in hotels, putting up signs in stores that we're not serving Black people anymore, to coming all the way across the, like laying the blame for this pandemic at the feet of Blacks. Then you come across the waters to here and you have people walking in stores with hoods on. Like, and nobody thinks anything of it. These are all of these little incidents that are like testing grounds to see how far we can push this. We need the white community to stand up and say that if this is not okay, then it's not okay, and to make that voice loud and clear. It cannot just be in a bubble where it's just Black people who are complaining and saying that, look at what is happening. As part of Justice for Damit, we do our best to make it apparent to everyone that whether it's police brutality, whether it's outright racism, that it is not acceptable. And we will do all that we can to bring names, bring faces into the picture to let people know these are the people that need to be held accountable. Like she said, there's an upcoming election for the DA in Albany. The one that's there has to go. He's complicit in this. All those, our president in the beginning talked about draining the swamp. Well, the swamp has not been drained. In fact, it's gotten more crowded. And in terms of Black people, it puts us not only at a disadvantage, but it also has an undercurrent of fear that runs with it. Because there's really no one out there that's saying this has got to stop and that it is not acceptable for all this racism to be out here and for people to boldly do it with more or less the president's permission to do so. It's a fearful time, but it's also a hopeful time. And just like this pandemic, we will get through that. We will also get through this, but it's going to take fighting. It's going to take the full collaboration of various organizations and groups working together, because we already see that the upper leadership, whether it's of the country or the government itself, are not going to do their part.